"What are you doing here, Torval?" Rand asked roughly. He tossed the dragon scepter and his gauntlets down atop the maps and followed them with his sword belt and scabbarded sword. The maps that Torval had no reason to be studying. No need of Luthaeren's voice. With a shrug, Torval produced a letter from his coat pocket and handed it to Rand. "The Mihail sent this." The paper was snowy white and thick, the seal a dragon impressed in a large oval of blue wax that glittered with golden flecks. It might almost have been thought to come from the dragon reborn. Taim did think well of himself. "The Mihail said to tell you that the tales of Aes Sedai and Murundi with an army, they are true. Rumor says they are rebels against Tar-Valon." Torval's sneer thickened with disbelief. "But they are marching toward the Black Tower. Soon they may become a danger, yes?" Rand cracked the magnificent seal to bits between his fingers. "They are going to Camelin, not the Black Tower, and they're no threat. My orders were clear. Leave Aes Sedai alone unless they come after you."
"But how can you be sure they are not a threat?" Torval persisted. "Perhaps they are coming to Camelin, as you say, but if you are wrong, we'll not know before they attack us."
"Torval may be right," Dashiva put in thoughtfully. "I can't say I'd trust women who put me in a box, and these haven't sworn any oaths. Or have they?"
"I said leave them alone!"
Rand slapped the tabletop hard, and Hopwell jumped in surprise. Dashiva frowned with irritation before hurriedly smoothing it over, but Rand was not interested in Dashiva's moods. By chance, he was sure it was chance, his hand had come down on the dragon scepter. His arm trembled with the desire to take it up and stab Torval through the heart. No need for Luthaeren at all.
"The Ashaman are a weapon to be aimed where I say, not to flutter around like hens every time Taim gets frightened over a handful of Aes Sedai having dinner at the same inn. If I must, I can come back to make myself clearer."
"I am sure there is no need of that," Torval said quickly.
At last, something had wiped the wry twist from his mouth. Eyes tight, he spread his hands, close to diffident, very nearly apologetic, and plainly frightened.
"The Mihail, he merely wanted you informed. Your orders are read aloud every day at morning directives after the creed."
"That's good, then." Rand kept his voice cool, kept a scowl from his face by main effort. It was his precious Mihail the man feared, not the dragon reborn. Afraid Taim would take it amiss if something he had said brought Rand's anger on Taim's head. "Because I'll kill any one of you who goes near those women in Murundi. You cut where I direct." Torval bowed rigidly, murmuring,
"As you say, my lord dragon."
His teeth were bared in an attempted smile, but his nose was pinched, and he struggled to avoid meeting anyone's eyes while seeming to avoid nothing. Dashiva yelped another laugh, and Hopwill wore a small grin. Narishma was not enjoying Torval's discomfort, though, or paying it attention. He looked at Rand without blinking, as though he sensed deep currents that the rest missed. Most women, and no few men, thought him just a pretty boy, but those two big eyes sometimes seemed more knowing than any others. Rand pulled his hand from the dragon scepter and smoothed open the letter. His hands did not quite shake. Torval smiled weakly, sourly, noticing nothing. Against the tent wall, Narishma shifted, relaxing. The refreshments arrived then, borne by a stately procession following Borina, a line of Ilioners and Kyrianen and Tyrans in their various liveries. There was a servant bearing a silver tray and pitcher for each kind of wine, and two more with trays of silver mugs for hot punch and spiced wines, and fine-blown goblets for the others. A pink-faced fellow in green and yellow carried a tray on which to do the pouring, and a dark woman in black and gold was there to actually handle the pitchers. There were nuts and candied fruits, cheeses and olives, each sort requiring a serving man or woman. Under Barina's direction, they flowed in a formal dance, bowing, curtsying, one giving way to another as they made their offerings. Accepting spiced wine, Rand hoisted himself onto the edge of the table and sat the steaming mug beside him, untouched as he busied himself with a letter. There was no address, no preamble of any kind. Taim hated giving Rand any sort of title, though he tried to hide the fact.
"I have the honor to report that 29 Ashaman, 97 dedicated,
and 322 soldiers are now enrolled at the Black Tower. There have been a handful of deserters, unfortunately, whose names have been stricken, but losses in training remain acceptable. I now have as many as 50 recruiting parties in the field at any given time, with the result that 3 or 4 men are added to the rolls almost every day. In a few months, the Black Tower will equal the White, as I said it would. In a year, Tarvalin will tremble at our numbers. I harvested that blackberry bush myself. A small bush and thorny, but a surprising number of berries for the size. Mazrim Taim, Mahale. Rand grimaced, putting the blackberry bush out of his mind. What had to be done had to be done. The whole world paid a price for his existence. He would die for it, but the whole world paid. There were other things to grimace over anyway. 3 or 4 new men a day? Taim was optimistic. In a few months, at that rate, there would be more men who could channel than Aes Sedai, true, but the newest sister had years of training behind her, and part of that specifically taught how to deal with a man who could channel. He did not want to contemplate any encounter between Ashaman and Aes Sedai, who knew what they were facing. Blood and regret could be the only outcome, whatever happened. The Ashaman were not aimed at the White Tower, though, no matter what Taim thought. It was a convenient belief, however, if it made Tarvalin step warily. An Ashaman only needed to know how to kill. If there were enough to do that at the right place and time, if they lived long enough to, that was all they had been created for. "How many deserters, Torval?" he said quietly. He picked up the wine mug and took a swallow, as if the answer were unimportant. The wine should have been warming, but the ginger and sweet sorrel and mace tasted bitter on his tongue. "How many losses in training?" Torval was recovering himself over the refreshments, rubbing his hands and arching an eyebrow at the choice of wines, making a great show of knowing the best, making a show of lording it. Dashiva had accepted the first offered, and stood glowering into his twisted-stem goblet as though it held swill. Pointing to one of the trays, Torval cocked his head thoughtfully, but he had the words ready on his tongue. 19 deserters so far. The Mahale, he has ordered them killed whenever they are found, and their heads brought back for examples. Plucking a bit of glazed pear from the proffered tray, he popped it into his mouth and smiled brightly. 3 heads hang like fruit on the traitor's tree at this moment. Good, Rand said levelly. Men who ran now could not be trusted not to run later, when lives depended on them standing. And these men could not be allowed to go their own way. Those fellows back on the hills, if they escaped in a body, were less dangerous than one man trained in the Black Tower. The traitor's tree? Taim was a great one for naming things. But men needed the trappings, the symbols and the names, the black coats and the pins, to help hold them together. Until it was time to die. The next time I visit the Black Tower, I want to see every deserter's head. A second piece of candied pear, halfway to Torval's mouth, dropped from his fingers and streaked the front of his fine coat.
It might interfere with recruiting, making that sort of effort, he said slowly. The deserters, they do not announce themselves.
Rand held the other man's gaze until it fell. How many losses in training? He demanded. The sharp-nosed Ashaman hesitated.
How many?
Narishma leaned forward, staring intently at Torval. So did Hopwill. The servants continued their smooth, silent dance, offering their trays to men who no longer saw them. Borina took advantage of Narishma's preoccupation to make sure his silver mug held more hot water than spiced wine. Torval shrugged, too casually.
51, all told. 13 burned out, and 28 dead where they stood. The rest... The Mahale, he adds something to their wine, and they do not wake.
Abruptly his tone turned malicious.
It can come suddenly, at any time.
One man began screaming that spiders were crawling beneath his skin on his second day. He smiled viciously at Narishma and Hopwill, and nearly so at Rand, but it was to the other two he addressed himself, swinging his head between them.
You see,
not to worry if you slide into madness. You'll not hurt yourselves or a soul. You go to sleep. Forever. Kinder than gentling, even if we knew how. Kinder than leaving you insane and cut off, yes?
Narishma stared back, taut as a harp string, his mug forgotten in his hand. Hopwill was once more frowning at something only he could see.
Kinder, Rand said in a flat voice, setting the mug back beside him on the table. Something in the wine. My soul is black with blood and damned.
It was not a hard thought, not biting or edged, a simple statement of fact.
A mercy any man might wish for, Torval.
Torval's cruel smile faded, and he stood breathing hard. The sums were easy. 1 man in 10 destroyed, 1 man in 50 mad, and more surely to come. Early days yet, and no way till the day you died to know you had beaten the odds. Except that the odds would beat you one way or another in the end. Whatever else, Torval stood under that threat, too. Abruptly, Rand became aware of Borina. It took a moment before he recognized the expression on her face, and when he did, he bit back cold words. How dare she feel pity? Did she think Tommen Gaiden could be won without blood? The prophecies of the dragon demanded blood like rain.
Leave us, he told her, and she quietly gathered the servants.
But she still carried compassion in her eyes as she herded them out. Casting around for a way to change the mood, Rand found nothing. Pity weakened as surely as fear, and they had to be strong. To face what they had to face, they all must be steel. His making, his responsibility. Lost in his own thoughts, Narishma peered into the steam rising from his wine, and Hopwill still tried to stare through the side of the tent. Torval cast sideways glances at Rand and struggled to put the scornful twist back on his mouth. Dashiva alone appeared unaffected, with his arms folded, studying Torval as a man might study a horse offered for sale. Into the painfully stretching silence burst a husky, wind-blown young man in black with the sword and dragon on his collar. Of an age with Hopwill, still not old enough to marry most places, Fedwin Moore wore intensity more closely than his shirt. He moved on his toes, and his eyes had the look of a hunting cat that knew itself hunted in turn. He had been different once, and not so long ago.
The Seanchan will move from Ebudar soon, he said as he saluted. They mean to come against Ilion next.
Hopwill gave a start and a gasp, jolted out of his dark study. Once again, Dashiva's response was to laugh, mirthlessly this time. Nodding, Rand took up the dragon scepter. After all, he carried it for remembrance. The Seanchan danced to their own tune, not the song he wished for. If Rand received the announcement in silence, Torval did not. Finding his sneer, he raised a contemptuous eyebrow.
Did they tell you all that now? He said mockingly. Or have you learned to read minds? Let me tell you something, boy. I have fought against Amadisians and Demani both, and no army takes a city, then packs itself up to march 1,000 miles. More than 1,000 miles.
Or do you think they can travel?